Now, before Macca's Australia All Over program on Sundays on the ABC, there was This Is Always On Sunday, a show specifically created for regional Australian listeners. Former ABC radio presenter Alex Nicol hosted it from 1969 through to the 80s, and he's just written a gorgeous book full of yarns that shares the characters that he's met along the way. And remember, this was all in a time when the lack of technology meant that even booking a hotel room in a remote outback town called Pooncarry was an adventure. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today, Alex.
Hey, Biff, I just bought the book.
You bought
that
it.
That sounds great. You must tell me about it.
Well, what I loved is you mentioned the Pooncarry Hotel.
Oh, Pooncarry pub, yeah.
My pop lived in Pooncarry
for
quite a bit of time, and I would spend a lot of time in Pooncarry. And for those
Did you go to the Pooncarry pub?
I did go to the Pooncarry pub, and I was quite chuffed when this story came into the book, because Pooncarry's got about five houses, or it's a little bigger these days, but back then it wasn't many, but there was pretty much just a pub on the Darling River, and a beautiful little part of the world. But you went there back in a time when you couldn't book the hotel online. There wasn't probably even a Yellow Pages number for them. What did you have to do?
Well, I took a TV crew there, Miff,
yeah.
And broke all the rules. Didn't do my due diligence before I went. The first thing that the publican asked us when we walked in was, which one of your blokes is doing the cooking? So you know you're in trouble right from the jump. The accommodation was, people who know what a meat house is out in the bush will know what I'm talking about. It's got a tin up to about waist height, and the rest of it is fly wire. Mm-hmm. So you could get a bed in each one of those. There was a single bed in each one of those. The generator went thumpity, 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 thumpity until exactly 10 o'clock at night. It stopped, and then the dog started barking. So, yeah, it was a great pub.
And you'd find the dog in a
44-gallon drum he lived
drum.
In,
That was pretty much de rigueur for
drum,
all
yep.
dogs to
live all in a 44-gallon drum. All dogs live in a 44-gallon drum, yep.
That's right. I love the book. It's got so many great memories, Alex. And I'm wondering, how did you get involved in this program that gave you all these stories?
Completely by accident, Miff, completely by accident. A fella called Neil Inall. I was working with him as a rural reporter in Orange, and it was just after This Day Tonight had come to air on television. So Neil, who was a great supporter of the bush, always thought that the bush needed to get its say too, and it needed a current affairs program. Okay, we wouldn't do it on television, but we could do it on radio. And the old rural department in those days owned half an hour of time on Sunday morning. So his idea was we would do half an hour of regional current affairs on Sunday morning. And he and I put together a pilot for this, sent it off to Sydney. And the director of the rural department said, what a great idea, but let's take over the whole of Sunday morning from 6:30 till 10 o'clock. And we went back to Orange and thought, that's the end of that one, Satan.
Yeah.
They employed a high-profile fella to present it, and I think he found out what sort of resources he was going to be working with, so he quietly said, no, thank you very much. And 10 days before the program was due to go to air, Graham White rang me and said, oh, by the way, you're producing and presenting Always on Sunday in 10 days' time. National radio program. I was a journalist. I had never spun a record, never programmed a program. It was an absolute disaster, Nick.
Thrown in the deep end by the sound of things.
Oh, and I couldn't swim. That's the worst part.
Technology too, so much more primitive. What were you working with? It would have been tape machines and
tape machines,
record players.
And the great tragedy of this whole thing is, I mean, I was there. I caught the last of the First World War soldier settlers.
Oh.
I spoke to people who had worked in the 19th century, Miff.
Yeah.
I interviewed the last of the Cobb & Co. coach drivers.
I noticed there were a lot of lasts in the stories that you tell in the book.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. And really, I was never going to write a book.
Mm.
And people said to me, look, you must write a book. And I said, no, they're not my stories. I'm a blurred carbon copy. But I'm in my 80s now, and when there's no record of them, nothing was ever kept. And when I'm gone, well, they're gone, aren't they? So I thought, okay, have one last try, see how many of them I can remember, and just pay some credit to those people who really were some extraordinary people around.
You mentioned the last of the First World War soldier settlers, that mm-hmm. you've got their stories, and the last Cobb and Co driver.
Yep.
These characters, these stories.
Some of the women were the important ones, Miv.
Really?
I can remember talking to a lady, and she and her husband had taken up a block in Queensland. They were soldier settlers, block in Queensland. She found herself in a four-room unlined house on the block, and her next-door neighbour was a member of the British aristocracy. She'd married, fallen in love with an Aussie and come out here, and that's where she found herself. Now, the two women got together. One taught the other how to sew. The other taught the other how to cook. And she said, you know, we two women desperately needed each other and became very, very close friends. I spoke to her just after her husband failed. The whole area failed, and he walked off. And he'd just died, and she decided she'd go back and have a look at the old farm one last time. And she went back, and the whole district had gone, Miff. The Aww. Whole district. A whole lot had failed, and it was now under pine plantations.
How
so there's some
sad.
Really tragic stories came out of that.
Yeah.
Some great stories, but yeah. some tragic stories too.
Are we losing these stories, these country type characters with the world moving towards globalisation, are these characters still out there?
Oh yes, there's always going to be characters. Mm. They'll just adapt in a different way, won't
right.
they? Technology is going to change the way people tell their stories and will use their stories. But there are always characters out there. There's always somebody who's got a story to tell. First thing I was taught when I was with joined the ABC that somebody's always got a story to tell. I was sent, one of my first interviews was sent to interview the man who was retiring, whose job was to wind up the clocks on the railway stations.
Oh.
And when I went out to his house, he'd retired, and he said to me, oh, I'm not very interesting, you know. And I said, no, everybody's got a story. I'm trying to think, how am I going to make a story out of your daily job is to get on a train, get off at the next station, wind up the clock, get on the train, get off at the next station, wind up a clock. So I'm trying to work out how to do this while I'm setting up the microphone. And he said, I'll just have to shut the bathroom door. And I asked why. And he said, I don't want the bees to get out. We did a story on beekeeping, didn't we?
Love it. Always resourceful when you're in the country,
yes.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
Alex Nicol is with me, former ABC broadcaster who's written a book about his experiences. It's called Old Days, Old Ways. Now, speaking of getting stories, you found some pretty shady characters via the country grapevine, which is very much a thing, I imagine, back then, when not even everyone would have had telephones in some rural areas. Someone had dirt on Roger Rogerson, who was being chased down by the cops at this point. Can you tell us about that situation and how important, you know, more broadly, the country grapevine is to a rural reporter?
Yeah, okay. We can't do this one now. I'm sorry, Miff. Things have changed.
Oh,
but
we
what
can't.
Happened was we can't because the privacy laws have gotten in the way. But privacy laws weren't about then. And what had happened was there was a fellow who was on the run and the federal police had picked him up and he had the dirt. And he desperately wanted to stay out of jail for a very good reason.
Mm.
And he was in a safe house. And the producer of AM rang the ABC in Orange and said, we've got the dirt that he's in your area somewhere, but nobody's got any idea and nobody's letting on where he is. Do you think he could have a dig around? So I started with the rate clerks. I reckon he's not going to be too far from Sydney. So you ring the rate clerk of the shire and say, you know, anybody renting a house in the area that looks a bit odd? And it didn't take us too long. We tracked him down. So I put a tape recorder over my shoulder, wandered out. Sure enough, there at the front gate is a federal policeman sitting there with a walkie-talkie, not pleased to see me at all.
Not at all.
He walkie-talkies up to the house and, yes, they will see me. And I did a very extensive interview with this gentleman who held a gun on me the whole time I did the interview. That was a bit misconcerting. I'm quite sure that the federal police wouldn't allow him to have a loaded weapon, but that didn't
Goodness
make any
me.
Difference. I was still sitting there being faced by a gun doing an interview with this fella who obviously was a pretty hard case.
Oh, clearly. That would have been quite terrifying, I would imagine. But, yeah, how important is the Country Grapevine to a rural reporter? How important is it to have connections with the people in the community?
Many years later, I went to Sydney and I was producing a program out of Sydney, and one of the reporters had done the wrong thing, and I said, look, you've just got to develop your contacts, boy, develop your contacts. Look, I'll show you how it's done. And I rang Mrs. Mack. Mrs. Mack was the wife of the doctor in Trangie. Now, she knew everybody for 150 miles around, and everybody knew Mrs. Mack for 150 miles around. And I said, look, this is how it's done. And I rang Mrs. Mack, and I said, Mrs. Mack, rhubarb, custard and cheese. And there was a long pause at the other end of the phone, and she said, Nick, I'm 90. I don't know those things anymore. So sometimes you're grapevine can wither a bit at the roots, Niff.
Yeah, it can, it can. Well, hopefully with stories like this that you're telling in this book, people will find it more, you know, more likely to keep investigating their local characters and keep that bush telegraph going, because it really is quite valuable and a very special thing, I think. And the book's a beautiful read. It is called Old Days, Old Ways. And just before we go, Alex Nicol, how do you feel? You've been out of the ABC for a bit. What do you think the role of ABC is in regional Australia today?
It's always been the same, Miff. The role of regional broadcasting is very important because it's the one place that you can really be one-on-one with your audience. When you walk out the studio, the chances are you're going to bump into somebody who's been listening to you and will pull you up very short if you've done something that they didn't agree with, and you'll get their opinion very quickly. You really are very much in touch with your audience. And it can, on other occasions, quick story, we had a situation where there'd been a wedding in Bathurst, and the bride and groom had gone to the Darling River for their honeymoon fishing. Couldn't do it now, but they'd gone to the Darling fishing, and the bride's mother had died the night after the wedding. They needed to get in touch with them, and obviously no mobile phones in those days. So they rang the station and said, how can you help? Obviously you don't broadcast something like that. But we rang Shindy's Inn on the Darling, and Shindy Mitchell cleaned out the bar and just sent the bar up and down the river until they found those people and got the bad news to them.
That's a pretty amazing story.
Mm.
Yeah, and there's
lots. That's what regional radio can do.
That is what regional radio can do. And there's a lot more of these kind of stories if you check out the book. It's called Old Days, Old Ways, and it's so lovely to talk to you, Alex Nicol. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me,
Miff. And it's brilliant to hear your voice again, too.
Well, I enjoyed hearing yours.
Thank you.